One of America's most popular exports is the word okay. You hear it in the cafes of Paris or in taxicabs in Beijing, from Kenya to Calcutta, and almost anywhere in between. The word began in America, but for years linguists wondered how it came about. These days they think they know. NPR's Neva Grant reports as part of the series Present at the Creation, which explores the origins of American cultural icons.
When you ask word experts about the origins of OK, before they tell you what they think is right, they often tell you what they know is wrong. It did not come from the abbreviation for Orrin Kendall biscuits, which soldiers ate during the Civil War. It's not short for OKAUXCAYES, a Haitian port that had great rum. And the one about the Indian chief who signed his treaties OK for Old Keokuk, that one also not correct. But pay attention to that word, correct, for there's a clue to the likely origins of OK. But first, you have to go back about 160 years, put yourself in Boston, and open the newspaper.
A new tie-up for Bostonians. Mr. Michael Hughes has opened a new hotel in New York.
This is an excerpt from the Boston Morning Post. The date is April 10th, 1839, which seems to be the first year that OK showed up in print.
It is hardly necessary to say to those who know Mr. Hughes that his establishment will be found to be A-number-one. Okay. All correct.
So, there you have it. Okay was an early abbreviation for all correct. But then, wouldn't it be A-C? No, says linguist Erin McKean, because it was misspelled on purpose for the same reason that people misspell words on purpose today.
For instance, a lot of kids online now spell cool, K-E-W-L. They know how to spell cool. It just looks cooler to spell it K-E-W-L.
And in certain East Coast cities in the mid-19th century, it was cool to say all correct with an O and a K. McKean, senior editor for U.S. Dictionaries for Oxford University Press, says the chattering classes in the old days had an inside lingo. It was full of puns and purposeful misspellings and abbreviations like SP for small potatoes or TBFTB for too big for their britches. Here's how a Philadelphia writer described a conversation he heard in New York in 1839.
A man offers another a note with the endorsement of a third and says of it, "You see, it's A-1. "Yes, that's good," says the other. "Okay, ISBD. It shall be done." "NSMJ," is the reply. "Nuff said mung gentlemen."
NSMJ and other abbreviations faded into obscurity, but OK hung in there. And here's a likely reason, says linguist Erin McKean. A year after it appeared in print, it got a boost from the President of the United States.
People would have made the connection between OK, all correct, with Martin Van Buren and Old Kinderhook. Kinderhook is where Martin Van Buren was from.
That's Kinderhook, New York.
And so there was a political action committee called the Democratic OK Club. And so it was OK to be a Democrat, OK to be for Martin Van Buren, and OK for Old Kinderhook.
It sounds like a sweet nickname, but in its political debut, the word OK was wielded like a battle axe. In 1840, here's what it might have sounded like when the newly minted OK Club in New York crashed a meeting of the rival Whig Party.
About 500 stout strapping men, many of them with sticks, marched 3 and 3.
The New York Daily Express ran this story the next day.
The gang of rioters rushed through the lower hall, shouting the watchword of the new era, OK. And they attacked the persons on the stairs, some of whom were severely beaten.
The re-election campaign of Martin Van Buren was so heated that the word OK swiftly spread and was used and abused by both sides. In fact, to hurt the Democrats, somebody started a rumor that the father of OK was none other than former President Andrew Jackson, who used OK for all correct, not to be cute, but because he couldn't spell. The rumor was false, but it was such a good story that it may have helped spread the popularity of OK. And there are other theories about why it spread so far.
To talk about the larger phenomenon of OK spread across America and then given to the world as a sort of linguistic gift, that implies that it has multiple origins, that people accept it for a variety of reasons.
Michael Adams, a linguist and literature professor at Albright College, says there are words like OK in many languages. For example, there's a suffix in Choctaw meaning indeed.
OK.
Here's a sentence that means I am indeed Choctaw.
Chata siah OK.
There's also this from the West African language, Wolof.
We're OK.
It means yes, and it would have been spoken by slaves in the South. OK also has European cousins, like this one, from Finnish, meaning right.
Oikein.
Now, there is no proof that any of these words gave birth to the American OK. In fact, most linguists firmly endorse the all-correct and old Kinderhook theories. But Michael Adams says it's possible that the many non-English OKs helped the English one stick.
The influence of Choctaw, African-American speech, political speech, all of that mingled together is sort of a melting pot. And there's a sense in which the newspaper started it, but all the other influences come into play in making OK probably in the world the most popular American English word.
And why do we hear it today from China to Colombia? Linguist Erin McKean says we'll never know for sure, but she has a few guesses.
It's easy to say. It's quick. It has, I think, what American English prizes, that sense of jauntiness and belonging.
And who wouldn't want to share in it? Thoreau used OK. Mencken wrote about it. Khrushchev said it. American GIs took it overseas. The movies took it everywhere. And astronauts took it into orbit.
1-0. Clock is operating. We're underway. Roger. We're programming and roll OK.
I was trying to think of what people would have said before OK. Can you, if you had to go through a day now without saying OK, could you do it? Are you going to revert to saying, very well, right you are? Every time someone wants you to affirm something?
No, of course you're not, because OK is as useful as duct tape and has even more staying power. Neva Grant, NPR News.